If you have a Bible, John chapter 6. Thank you, girls. What a beautiful song. Just had a great time with the Khmer department, and we're going on our way to Maywood. John chapter 6. I hope everybody got one of these stickers. We'll explain the sticker in just a moment. If you did not get a sticker, we have some on the back table. I think there's some at the usher's booth right back there. We want everybody to get one of these stickers. We'll explain those in just a moment. John chapter 6, let's all stand. We are going to read fast. We're going to talk fast. And we're going to pray that the Lord can do what we never could have done, even if we had the time. Amen? John chapter 6, verse number 1. The Bible says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat. This is John chapter 6, verse 3. By the way, if you haven't found it yet, just make believe. Amen? There he sat with his disciples. That's what I do all the time. And there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? In other words, how are we going to feed these folks in today's language? And this he said to prove or to test him, for he himself, Jesus himself, knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth, which would be 200 days' salary, of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and Andrew had a tendency to always be there bringing somebody to Jesus, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in the number about 5,000. We often refer to this as the feeding of the 5,000, the miracle of the feeding of 5,000. That's really a misnomer. More than likely, there were 10, 15, maybe as many as 20,000, because there were 5,000 men, and there were women, there were children, including the lad that we'll talk about in a moment. Quite a miracle. It's one of the few miracles that's found in all 4 Gospels, by the way. Jesus took the loaves, the 5 loaves, which were given by the lad, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, of the 2 fish, as much as they would. And when they were filled, these 5, 10, 15, 20,000 people ate to their heart's content. He said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. They even have leftovers after this miracle. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you today. And Lord, we are on a very, very tight schedule. I ask that in the few moments that we have, that you'd help us to see the world, the multitudes through the eyes of Christ. Help us to recognize the great need. That's what a missions revival is all about. And then, Father, I pray that we would recognize that you want to do a miracle through this church, and you want to do a miracle through each and every one of our lives. But like the little lad, we must be willing to give what we have, even though it doesn't seem like a whole lot, so you could feed the multitudes. I pray that you bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Real quickly, this story is found in all 4 Gospels. In this story, if you look at all 4 Gospels, you read all 4 Gospels, each one of the Gospels presents it from a different angle. You'll see different parts of the story. As a matter of fact, in John's Gospel, it's the only time you find that there's a lad who gives the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. If you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the disciples have these 5 loaves, 2 fish, but you don't know where it comes from. But it's in John's Gospel we find it's a lad. We don't know this boy's name. He's unnamed. He's unknown. We don't know his age, but he's one of those biblical heroes, and there are many. We don't know their name. We don't know anything about them, but we're still preaching about them 2,000 years later. Somebody say amen. And here we find Jesus. If you read all 4 Gospels, here's how the story goes. The disciples have been preaching and teaching, healing, casting out demons. They come, and they come to Jesus. There's a time of R&R. They're going to spend some time with Jesus. They're weary. They're weary and well-doing. They want some R&R. They're with Jesus, and unfortunately, the multitudes, everywhere Jesus goes, the multitudes come. And here comes the multitudes, and you especially see this in Luke's Gospel as as the multitudes come, I can imagine how they felt. Jesus' disciples felt. They look and they're thinking, man, can we just get a break? Somebody say amen. Can we just have a one day off, a little sabbatical here? But here comes the multitudes. And of course, Jesus never turns anyone away. And so they have a time and there's some teaching going on. And all of a sudden, Jesus looks and Jesus is the best speaker of all time. And those of us been speaking for a while, we know when you're hungry and we know when we need to cut it short. Amen. So Jesus looks around. He could tell it's time to eat. And he could see that the folks are hungry and they're needy. And so Jesus sees this need. The Bible says he lifts up his eyes. And there's a very key term there. Lifting up his eyes and having a vision where there's no vision. The people perish. He sees this great need. He sees all these people hungry. He asks Philip. Philip's from Bethsaida, 9 miles away from where they're located at this moment. He asks Philip first. Now, you have to understand, we read in the text, Jesus knows what he's going to do. The one thing about Jesus, he always used circumstances and situations like this as teachable moments. So Jesus asked Philip, look at all the people. They're hungry. What are we going to do? How are we going to feed them? And Philip says, man, I haven't got the foggiest idea. Now, if you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel, especially Luke's gospel, the account of this story, the disciples say, man, send those dudes away. Let them go get their own food. Somebody say amen. Let them go to In-N-Out on their own. We're tired. We're too busy. We don't have enough money to take care of the need. And that's how we are so often. That's how I am. We see the needs, but we're weary. We're tired. But that's just not how Jesus operates. Jesus is in the business of meeting needs. Yep. So we find Andrew. And Andrew, if you study the Gospels, Andrew's always bringing somebody to Jesus. Andrew comes. He says, there's a lad here. We don't know his name. We don't know how old he is. He's a lad. He's a child. He's probably 12 or under. We don't know. He's got a lunch. Mama packed him a lunch for the day. He's going to go hear Jesus. Mama packed him a lunch. Now, we often refer to this story as the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Again, that's a misnomer, probably 10, 15, 25,000, 20,000. But this morning, in just a few moments, I'm going to talk about the miracle before the miracle. How many of you have children? Anybody have children? Now, maybe your children are different than my 5 and my 14 grandchildren and I've worked with kids for a long, long time, but you know what? And there's a couple children in here, so they'll have to close ears. You know what I've found about children? They don't like to share. Somebody say amen. What's theirs is theirs, and what's mine is theirs. Somebody say amen. I remember when I was at staff at Pacific Baptist Church, they used to call me the candy man, and I used to walk around, give the kids candy. I used to have candy in the office, and I would do this quite frequently just to test them. I would give them candy, then I'd say, will you share with Brother Johnny? And inevitably, they'd go, no, mine. Except for Courtney Sin, I think it's Michaela. One of the Sin girls would always share with me, and I'd say, I was just joking. But the rest of the kids at Pacific Baptist Church, mine. By the way, including my adult children, amen? But if you've worked with kids for any length of time, you know how it is. You go to McDonald's and you buy your kids a Happy Meal, and normally they don't eat the food. They play with the toys, amen? But you know how it is, and you say, can I have one of your French fries? Mine. Here's it, and that, by the way, that's with your siblings. That's with your parents. That's with grandpa. It's a real bummer when I ask my grandchildren, you going to share with grandpa? Mine. But here's this young lad. Again, we don't know his age. We don't know anything about this young boy. But this young boy is sitting in the midst of a bunch of people. These are not his siblings. These are not his parents. These are a bunch of people he doesn't know. They're from all different villages and cities. Some of them may be from different countries. They're definitely from different provinces. He doesn't know these people. But the miracle above all miracles is this young lad is willing to say, it's not mine, Jesus, it's yours. And because this young lad, this unnamed, unknown boy, is willing to take his 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We read in the text, what is this among so many? It isn't much, but we sing the song, little is much when God is in it. Because this young lad is willing to share and give his lunch, by the way, with no expectation of any return. The text doesn't tell us, how did the disciples get this guy to give up his lunch? How did they get this boy to give up his 5 loaves, his 2 fishes for all these people he doesn't know? How did they? I don't know if the Bible doesn't tell us. I'm just going to guess that they said, you know, Jesus, our master, our Lord, He sees the great need of the multitudes. They're hungry. Would you get behind the cause? The young boy gives up his 5 loaves. He gives up the 2 fish. And as he gives them up, the Bible says with the text we just read a moment ago, Jesus blesses it. He breaks it, and then he uses his disciples. What a great task, needless to say, to distribute it among the multitudes. That's what a missions conference or missions revival is all about. Yes, sir. The Son of God looks upon the great multitudes of the world who are hungry. Not only hungry for physical food, but hungry for the bread of life. And then the Son of God looks at his disciples and says, so what are we going to do about it? That's what today's all about. We live in a world of 7.1 billion people. I live and serve in a part of the world known as the 1040 window. In a moment, we're going to show a video. I'll leave and you're going to show a video. The 1040 window includes China, 1.3 billion people, India, 1.2 billion people, all of the Middle East, Northern Africa, Southeast Asia, the part of the world that I live in. People, the multitudes, like Jesus saw the multitudes there on that day, 5 to 20,000 people. That crowd has got a lot bigger today. And they're hungry and they're needy. And Jesus could have said, Father, these people are hungry and these people are needy. Can you drop some bread from heaven? And God could have done it. But that's just not how God normally works. He normally gets us involved to do our part. And when we do our part, he does his part. And it's always miraculous. I asked Miss Mary, of course, one of the themes. This Thursday will be 1 year ago that my brother, Pastor Joe, was hospitalized. This coming Thursday. If you remember, the theme was about China. That's what this is. Keep the dream alive. China or bust. And I did not find this out till 4 o'clock this morning. Because I asked Miss Mary on Friday if she would give me a brief testimony about China and her knowing Pastor Joe more than any of us. And she sent it to me at 12:39 a.m. this morning. And I'm going to read it for you in a moment. But on this sticker will remind you to pray for Southeast Asia. There's a map there of Southeast Asia and a map of China. Pray for China. But you'll find the words China or bust. I did not find out about this. I did not know this until this morning at 4 a.m. The last words that Pastor Joe's children ever heard him speak were China or bust. 12 months ago. I want to read real quickly what Miss Mary sent me at 12:39 this morning. She writes, I'm very sorry for the late hour of this testimony. It's the first opportunity I had to quietly stop and reflect and put down some thoughts. I feel I don't do a bit of justice to explaining the greatness of the burden that Pastor Joe had for the Chinese people and for China. But here's my feeble effort. Typically, I will write and rewrite something like this or an update a multitude of times and then reread it another day and another. But you need it in the morning, so here it is. And here's her words to the Pacific Baptist Church family. Brother Johnny asked me to write down a small testimony about the vision God gave Pastor for China. It was hard to pinpoint a specific time for the birth of the China dream. Pastor had for many years posted large maps of ethnically diverse cities in California for church planning targets and a map of Asia on our bedroom wall. He had marked China as one of the many destinations for sending teams. I believe Monterey Park, which of course today is Maywood, was a part of making the dream for China seem a reality to Pastor. Just as God had put Pastor at 5050 Sheridan in Chicago when he was in Bible college so many years ago, where the burden for the Khmer people was birthed and led to Pacific Baptist Church, eventually Team Cambodia, Thailand, and Laos. I believe, as did Pastor, God provided the church building for starting the Monterey Park Church in one of the greatest Chinese populations. As Pastor used to say, a sort of Polaroid picture. The vision for China God had snapped years earlier, and which was represented by a map on the wall, little by little developed into a great burden for Team China. It seemed to be so obvious to them that we would start Team China, and there in Monterey Park area, more laborers could be come from that area, the Chinese laborers. It just made sense to him. God led us there, provided a building right where the Chinese folks were. During the time leading up to last year's missions conference, the burden for China grew and grew. Pastor had such a great desire to share the dream and a burden with the church family. China became such a passion to him, and really the main emphasis of the conference, talking about last year's conference, and of course I preached on this 6 weeks ago, and it's online, Keep the Dream Alive, and that was the thrust of the conference a year ago. He really did believe that God was doing something extraordinary, as we have talked about, him saying multiple times, it was a God thing. Of course, the opening night of Missions Conference, which would be a year from this coming Thursday, Missions Conference was the last opportunity Pastor had to share the burden that God had placed on his heart, and only briefly before his AVM ruptured, causing a severe bleed and stroke. By the way, that was taking place while he stood on the platform while I was preaching. While on the platform that night, I believe he was already bleeding, as he told me on the walk home, of a severe migraine, loss of vision. As we entered the door, he didn't sit down to fellowship with his children as he would normally do following a service on Sunday night. The children showed him his favorite Lao coffee that Brother Esposito had brought him from Laos. He tossed it to one of them and said the last words my children ever heard him say. China. Bust. And he headed upstairs. Within a very short time, he stumbled down the stairs holding his head in pain. I rushed him to ER. About a week ago, Brother Johnny came by to see Pastor. He left. I went back to the car. I remembered I had forgot something, but returned a few minutes later with the China stickers he had asked Brother Vaughn to print. Don't let the dream die. He showed them to Pastor, then handed them to me. And then I immediately left. I was in a hurry. He immediately walked back out, and I stood by Pastor and looked at him, and tears rolled down his cheek. That was the first time in 12 months I had seen more than a single tear roll down Pastor's cheek. Though he can't speak, I personally believe the burden burns within, and if he could speak, he'd say, China or bust. Don't let the dream die. Yep. I was with Pastor about 2 weeks ago. I asked Pastor, and of course, you don't know what's reflex. You don't know, you know, you just don't know. I asked Pastor, I said, Pastor, well, I call him Joe. For those who don't know, he's my brother. I said, Joe, do you remember the first night of Missions Conference when I preached? I said, if you do, blank. He blanked. I said, blink multiple times, and he blinked real hard to make sure I knew. I said, Joe, do you remember going home and do you remember saying to your kids when they offered you the coffee that I brought from Laos, do you remember saying China or bust? If you do, blank. He blanked. I said, just to make sure, I said blank multiple times. And he blinked multiple times. And then I said, Joe, do you still want Pacific Baptist Church to emphasize China? Do you still want them to push China? If you do, blank. And he blanked. And just to make sure, I said, blank hard so I know that you understand what I'm saying. And he blanked multiple times. Jesus saw the multitudes. He saw the great need. So did our pastor. Jesus knew what the plan was, but he put the ball in the court of the disciples. Whether it's the 1040 window, whether it's Cambodia, Thailand, Laos, China, there's a world that is lost without Christ. The Middle East, Jesus still looks, and he says to you and to me, so what are we going to do about it? And this morning and tonight, Faith Promise tonight, we have a church business meeting, and we will determine the eternal destiny of the hungry multitudes. And it really all boils down to this. Are we the lad who would say, mine? Some of you are holding on to your children. Your children have been called to preach. They've been called to go to the mission field. And you won't let them go. You say, mine. Today is the day to let go and let God. Some of you, God has stirred about going. Today is the day. Our life is not our own. It belongs to him. Today we need to be like the lad saying, not mine, yours. With our money. Oh yeah, but I've worked hard for my money. Mine. No, Lord, it's yours. You say, well, I don't have a whole lot. Little is much when God is in it. It's mission revival time. We all have a decision to make. The multitudes are hungry. What will we say? Let's stand. Let's pray.